Then Peter spoke up. "Look," he said, "we've left everything and followed you. What will we have?" Jesus said to them, "You can be sure that when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne in the new age, then you 12 followers of mine will also sit on thrones to rule the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times more and will be given eternal life. But many who are now first will be last, and many who are now last will be first. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a silver coin a day, and sent them to work in his vineyard. He went out again to the marketplace at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there doing nothing. So he told them, 'You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage.' So they went. Then at 12 o'clock and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. It was nearly 5 o'clock when he went to the marketplace and saw some other men still standing there. 'Why are you wasting the whole day here doing nothing?' he asked them. 'No one hired us,' they answered. 'Well then, you go and work in my vineyard,' he told them. When evening came, the owner told his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last and ending with those who were hired first.' The men who had begun to work at 5 o'clock were paid a silver coin each. So when the men who were first to be hired came to be paid, they thought that they would get more. But they too were given a silver coin each. They took their money and they started grumbling against their employer. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'while we put up with a whole day's work in the hot sun. Yet you paid them the same as you paid us.' 'Listen, friend,' the owner answered one of them, 'I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to do a day's work for 1 silver coin. Now take your pay and go home. I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I'm generous?' And Jesus concluded, 'So, those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last.'" John's now going to come up and speak to us.
Well, good morning. So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Well, it's one of Jesus' most famous sayings, the one that sticks in our minds. But what does it actually mean? And I have to admit that I'm really with Mr. Bean here, because I'm ashamed to say that I'm always late for everything, especially in the morning. I even used to be late for school sometimes, and that was when I was a teacher. But what about the other people in the queue? I wonder whether anyone can have a stab at what they might have been thinking as Mr. Bean strode up to the front and turned this apparent person sleeping in a sleeping bag into himself. Anyone think what might have been going through their minds? What they might have been muttering to each other? Any ideas? That's because you're all so British that you like queuing and don't like saying anything in public.
That's not fair.
That's not fair, absolutely. That's not fair. Because, obviously, Mr. Bean was going to get that hideously ugly chair at half price. Okay, how about, you may have noticed, where Mr. Bean parked his car, there were 3 or 4 people standing there at the back of the queue. And I guess they probably didn't get many bargains anyway, because they were so far back that everyone in the front would have got them first. So I just wonder, would they have felt any different? Would they have perhaps not bothered? What do you think they would have thought? Any ideas? Go on, Debbie, I'm going to pick on you now, having volunteered you yourself. it's not fair again? Or...
Yeah, definitely.
Right, even though you're not going to miss that many bargains, because they'll have gone anyway.
You'd still be annoyed.
Still be annoyed, okay. I can't imagine you being annoyed, but but still. I'll have to ask Christian about that later. Okay, so it's not fair. That's the kind of thing that I think they might have said. Or alternatively, a similar sort of thing, I was here first. So we all tend to have a very strong idea of what's fair and unfair. It doesn't really matter whether it's whether we're losing out directly or whether it's just annoying. So in those M25 roadworks, when everyone's very nicely gone down to one lane and then you get people in BMWs whizzing past you and trying to push in much further on, you know the ones, we feel angry about them. And if a Mr. Bean cheats his way to the front of the queue and manages to get all the bargains, we also instantly feel angry. And yet, I want to suggest this morning that that the vineyard owner in our story that Lou read to us earlier, in one way, and only one way, is a bit like Mr. Bean. And of course, in the story that Jesus told, the vineyard owner stands for God. But before I spill the beans, get it? Before I spill the beans on this unorthodox suggestion, let's think a little bit more about fairness and unfairness and what we really mean by them. Now, of course, when there isn't enough to go round, it does make sense to share things out fairly. Just supposing, if you're a child, your mother and father don't have enough money to buy you all the things that you want for Christmas. I know that's hard for children to accept, but if you've got four children, then even if you're an accountant, then I guess that is extremely difficult to do. It makes sense because you love them all the same. Or if people are all waiting to get something, then it makes sense to form an orderly queue instead of pushing and shoving and screaming and shouting. After all, queuing is probably the best British invention ever. We've shown the world how to queue. Even though, unfortunately, some of them still seem to have to catch on a bit. So these are all good forms of fairness. But all too often when someone says, it's not fair, what they really mean is, it's not fair for me. You don't quite so often hear people say, that's not fair for you, or her, or him, or them. And when someone says, I was here first, what they normally mean is, I want this all for myself and I'm not going to share. And the funny thing is that sometimes we don't even mind if we don't get much for ourselves, provided that someone else only gets the same, or even less. And that means that we have to spend lots of time comparing ourselves with other people to see if we think they deserve as much as we do, if they qualify to get the same as us. And then if other people that we think don't deserve as much end up getting the same, it can make us jealous, grumpy, bitter, and cross. It does nasty things to people. Now, people were just the same when Jesus was alive. There were the religious leaders, like the Pharisees. They'd been religious for years and years. They'd kept religion together. And they didn't take kindly to the idea of Jesus bringing in all these previously bad people and promising that they too could be part of God's family. And, as we heard in the reading, now even Jesus' special friends, the disciples, were catching the it's not fair disease. Because they had left everything to follow Jesus right from the start. And now everyone was doing it. Jesus was popular. Crowds were flocking to him wherever he was. And that made them feel a bit miffed. So, says Peter, opening his mouth and putting his foot in it as usual, what about us? We have left everything and followed you. What will we have? In other words, will we only get the same reward as all these new people, these Johnny-come-latelys, when we've been with you all the time? So that's why Jesus needed to tell the story about the workers in the vineyard. Now, these workers, they didn't have a regular job. They weren't anyone's servants. They went to the marketplace every day, hoping that someone would hire them just for the day. And this was what they all wanted to get: a silver coin, and it was called a denarius. It was regarded as a fair day's wage for a worker or a soldier. Now, if you got one of these every day, you wouldn't be rich, but you and your family would have enough to eat. So you can understand why the workers were all so keen to get one. If they did, the family could eat. But if no one hired them, they would just hang around in the heat in the marketplace all day before shuffling home to listen to the hungry, rumbling tummies around the empty dinner table. So let's have a very quick recap on the story. And it's got to be quick because we haven't got 12 hours. But, of course, when the owner got to the people who started first and gave them the same money, they didn't seem very grateful. They'd seen the workers who had only done the last hour get a silver coin, and they had hoped for more. Perhaps they'd hoped for 12 coins because they'd worked for 12 coins as long. But the owner said, "Listen, friend," and when someone says friend, you know you're going to get told off. "Listen, friend, I haven't cheated you. You agreed to do a day's work for a silver coin. So now take your pay and go home." And off they all went, all grumpy and cross and bitter. They probably went home, shouted at the kids, didn't enjoy the meal that their money had earned, and then had to watch a couple of episodes of EastEnders to remind them that however unfair, miserable, and depressing your life is, it could always be worse. Well, never mind about them. What do we learn about God from this story? For it's clear that the owner in the story stands for God. Well, firstly, we learn that God is fair. He's faithful. He keeps his promise. He's just. All the workers got the pay that they had been promised. All of them got enough to feed their family for that day. But we also learn that God is far more than just fair. He's generous. Amazingly, ridiculously, outrageously generous. Beyond what we can ask or even imagine. Unlike most employers who would just send their servants to the marketplace, he went himself. And he makes sure that at the end of the day, all the workers got the money to feed their family that evening, no matter how little they'd worked. It's what we call grace, when God gives us good things, even though we haven't earned them, even though we don't deserve them. And he's full of love for everyone. How many employers would take someone on just for 1 hour? Think of all the paperwork they'd have to do. It wouldn't be worth the bother. But God loves everyone, and he wants us all to share in his riches. He wants everyone to be in his family and one day to be in heaven with him forever. He wants no one to be lost, no one not to be hired. He wants no one to be left out, left behind, hanging around with no purpose in life. And that means he has to smash through the petty rules that we make to keep other people down and in their place, to make sure that life is fair for us. Of course, Mr. Bean did it differently. He drove through the queue, almost literally, in his famous green Mini, and made himself first instead of last, blissfully unaware that he had broken all the rules about queuing. Well, God does that too. Not because he's unaware of what people think, but because he knows there is a much better way. He knows that he has enough love and riches for everyone, whether they've just rolled out of bed or whether they've been queuing for ages. By our way of thinking, God seems unfair, beautifully, wonderfully unfair. So let me finish with a challenge. Well, two challenges, really. The first is for people who've been coming to church for ages and helped to make it the wonderful place it is by giving their time and their money to help. Maybe they help by leading the services or cleaning the toilets or any one of the hundreds of jobs in between that all have to be done. And the challenge for you is to remember that nothing you do for God is wasted. Everyone who has given up something for Jesus, he says, will receive 100 times more and be given eternal life. But make sure that the work you do for Jesus is done out of love and gratitude for what he's done for you, not just for a reward or to make you feel better than other people. And when Jesus brings in people to join God's family, even if they're not the people you would have expected, welcome them in, because they, like you, have experienced God's love and grace. And then a challenge for those who don't follow Jesus. Okay, so you're not working in God's vineyard. Maybe you're not even waiting in the marketplace to be hired, because you think, is it worth it? Is there a God anyway? Even if there is, would he want me and his family? I'm not good enough. I've left it too late. I'd never fit in with all those good religious people. Well, if that's you, then my challenge to you is to start searching. Start looking. Maybe come to Alpha. It's a great chance to think through the big questions of life and death and God and the universe in a relaxed and fun atmosphere. And remember that no one is too bad or too unimportant or too late or too anything for God. So get down to the marketplace. God is incredibly, amazingly generous. God wants everyone to come into his family. There is no one that he won't take on. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your amazing love, a love that is big enough and rich enough to take in the whole world. Thank you that you treat us not how we've behaved or what we've earned, because none of us could earn enough to merit your love. But thank you that you pour out your grace and your love on us nonetheless. Help us to welcome those that you bring into our family. And help everyone to get into the marketplace, to search, to look for life and purpose and meaning which you can give. In Jesus' name, amen.